The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Lord is in his holy temple. So the psalmist says. Every Sunday, we believe that our Lord is here in his holy temple. We call upon him with the invocation in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit at the beginning and at the end, commending you with the blessing of the Lord, a Trinitarian blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So also we light candles, of course, turn on the lights, and we come because we know the Lord is here in his temple. But how do we know this? How can we be confident that he is truly here, blessing us with his word and with his gifts? In the Old Testament, they had it a little bit easier. You heard this in the reading of 1 Kings. Solomon has built his temple, a temple that David began, Solomon finished. And in this temple were great relics, relics that indicated to the people the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant, that Ark that led them into battle, led them through the wilderness. The Ark that contained those two tablets of stone that had the 10 holy commands upon them. And when that Ark entered the most holy place, the temple was filled with smoke. Smoke that indicated the glory of the Lord was filling the house. And in some regards, that would be an advantage to them, wouldn't it? Wonder if the Lord is present in your tabernacle or temple. Look for smoke, or look for fire by day. Look for the Ark of the Covenant. Look for those tablets of stone. Look for the curtain veil hiding the most holy place from your eyes. Look for the altars of sacrifice, of grain offering, of animal offering, the pot of incense that was burning 24/7. And when they saw these things, they knew the Lord was present, there blessing them as he had promised. That was Solomon's temple. And the temple in our Lord's day was Solomon's temple that had been destroyed and rebuilt by Herod and renovated by Herod. Jesus was in that temple. It was the custom of his people to visit that temple every year for the Passover. So Mary and Joseph, dutiful servants of the Lord, were there for Passover. And they brought their young son. But a most curious thing happened. Jesus stayed behind. And they left. I don't know how we can imagine doing that. Of course, it has happened probably to most parents in the room. Maybe you've heard of such things where you're in the department store. I remember hiding inside of a carousel of clothing, my mother not able to find me for many minutes, and it causing her great distress. And here Mary and Joseph travel a whole day before they find out. Now, that it was the character of these caravans traveling to the temple, it isn't all that surprising based off of the context. But still, they ask, where is Jesus? They want to know where he is, for he is their son, the son whom God himself has blessed them with, conceived by the Holy Spirit. But so also others are asking, where is the temple? Maybe you are asking, how do we know that the Lord is present here? How do we know that Jesus is here? And those two things are actually the same question. For where Jesus is, there is the temple. For Jesus is the temple in flesh. As we sang in the hymn, behind that veil of flesh was the God made flesh, incarnate. Jesus reveals this truth to us. That is what it is, what it means to have an epiphany, to have the truth revealed to you. Jesus reveals who he is to those teachers of the law there in the temple. So also he reveals it to his parents by his response to them. And he reveals it to us. He says, don't you know, I need to be about my Father's business in his house. Doing what my Father has given me to do. And it is a curious expression, for Jesus has a father, does he not? Joseph, his guardian, his protector, his adoptive father. We know that he has a Father in heaven, of which we will learn on Friday when the Holy Trinity is revealed at that baptism of our Lord. Father speaks from heaven. The Spirit descends upon our Lord as a dove, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We know this to be true, but those teachers of the law in the temple, they do not know, and yet they will learn. They are amazed at his teaching. They are amazed at his understanding of the Scriptures, his answers to their questions, his dutiful listening to them, even his asking them questions. This is actually what God does with us. He says, come to my house, speak to me, and I will return with voice. I will tell you the answers to your questions. I will listen dutifully to that which concerns you, that which torments you, that which haunts you, that which you are thankful for, that which you are joyous about. I will listen, the Lord says. And I will also ask you questions. I will ask, how do you understand the law? How do you understand those holy commands that I have given you? Do you understand what it means to murder in your heart through hate or anger? So he asks questions, provides answers. He listens to your needs, and he grants you understanding. For he reveals himself as the Word. This boy Jesus in the temple, 12 years old, there for Passover, is mystery upon mystery. The Word of God incarnate. The Word that is read and heard in the temple. The Word that is honored, that is treasured in the heart, that is cherished by these people, now stands before them. Man, God made flesh. The one who has given the word of 10 commands that sit within the ark. The one who is the 10 holy commands is a 12-year-old boy speaking to them, listening to them, asking them questions, providing them answers. And ever since the incarnation of our Lord, when he was born in the flesh, God has continued to work in this way, to come before you in his body, to speak to you tangibly, worldly, visibly, speaking from pulpit, from lectern, speaking in Bible study, in vacation Bible school, and Sunday school, but also giving to you gifts, most tangible, real, visible, that you can see and find his holy sacraments. He has promised to be everywhere two or three are gathered around his word. And two or three are gathered here. I lost count of how many. Looks about 11, I think. 11 are gathered in this place that was built for the purpose, just as Solomon built, a holy place. A place to hear God's word and receive his gifts. Set aside from the world. Set apart from our neighbors and our friends. Set aside, consecrated for this very purpose, to hear the word and to pray and to be blessed by our Lord. I don't know if anyone in this room was here in 1962, but there was a service of dedication for this sanctuary, for this building. And in that rite of dedication, the pastor, Pastor Breeze, I believe, indicated what this place was to be used for, gave very specific directions that this precise room was dedicated for. He said first that God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, gave us this space through his goodness, permitting us to build it, this holy place, he says. And the congregation responded, "To thee we dedicate this building." He continued, "O Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, our only Redeemer and Savior, whose name is to be proclaimed here, to thee we dedicate this building. O Holy Spirit, source of life and light, our sanctifier and comforter, who visits this place, to thee we dedicate this building. To the glory and honor of thee, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we dedicate this building. To the preaching of the Holy Word, the proclamation of thy law and gospel, we dedicate this building. To the proper administration of the holy sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, we dedicate this building. As a house of prayer for all who would call upon thy name and worship thee in spirit and truth, we dedicate this building. As a place where there will..." This is old English, so it's hard for me sometimes. "Where thou mightiest manifest thy presence unto men." In other words, reveal himself to you. We dedicate this building. "As a place where sinners may receive comfort and assurance, where men may be turned to repentance and to faith in thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Where saints may be strengthened and encouraged, where thy praise may be chanted, thy kingdom extended, thy glory revealed, and thy power manifested, we dedicate this Grace Lutheran Church. As a place where lambs of the flock of Christ may be fed, where little children may increase in wisdom and favor with God and man, where the young may be taught to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, where adults may apply the Word of God to their daily lives, where generations may grow up fit for citizenship on earth and in heaven, we dedicate this Grace Lutheran Church." I was reminded of this rite of dedication that was performed for this very space when Pastor Breeze said those words, "where little children may increase in wisdom and favor with God and man." Pastor Breeze was rightly applying our Lord Jesus, the 12-year-old boy in the temple, as an example for children, for you, children of faith. One who would come and grow in wisdom and favor. He left out stature with God and man, just as our Lord did. Jesus, the faithful one, indeed, the one who was at the temple each year with his parents for Passover, there dutifully even on his 33rd birthday, when Passover became especially poignant, where he became the sacrificial lamb, the one who dies for you. So also we know from the scriptures that Jesus daily or regularly attended the synagogue to hear his own word preached and taught. You remember what happened when he visited that temple later in his life, nearer to his passion, and found in the temple being used for nefarious purposes, to sell and to buy and to barter, transformed into a marketplace, not a house of prayer, dedicated to the word and the gifts of our Lord. What did he do? He drove out those money changers. He said, "This is not a den of thieves. Don't you know that this is my Father's house, a house for prayer." So also his apostles were not radical destroyers of temples, of places dedicated to the worship of the true God. But they went to synagogues, to temple, and they preached and taught there. St. Paul stands on the front steps, Solomon's portico, and preaches. Often synagogues are transformed into Christian churches. Not a hard transformation, for God has revealed the Messiah has come in his Son, and the place of worship for the promise of the Messiah now becomes the place of worship of the promise fulfilled, the Messiah. So also they transformed homes and other places into houses of worship. We actually have the right to do this, to build a place to worship. And we have an obligation to do so as well. For the world needs to know where God is present. The world needs to know where they can hear Jesus rightly, to receive his blessing. Jesus' attitude towards temple and synagogue was one of honor and of reverence, so also for us. It's a little startling today, after Christmas and this last Epiphany on the 6th, to not have the tree and the wreaths and all the poinsettias. For those were great adornments to this place, setting it apart as a place of worship, of honor, of celebration, rejoicing. And today, a little bit more calm. Still a place set apart, though. We need these places of worship. We need to know where to hear our Lord. Just as our Lord, when he came to the temple, remained, so also we, when we find the place where our Lord has promised to be, where we can hear him rightly and truthfully, we stay. For in these places, dedicated as a house of the Lord, a house of prayer, we receive comfort that the world cannot give, joy in the forgiveness of sins, an altar where our Lord himself sits upon high and lofty, his trains filling the temple. Let us go to the house of the Lord, the psalmist said, to enter into his courts with thanksgiving, to sing songs of praise. And what do we offer there? Solomon offered many rich and fine gifts at his temple dedication, gold and great wonders. What do you have to offer your Lord here in this, his holy place? We heard in the epistle, according to St. Paul, writing to the Romans, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Your very presence here this evening is an act of sacrifice. Sacrifice to the Lord, saying, "This hour and 15 minutes or so for my Saturday evening, I dedicate to you. I dedicate to you as an act of service, offering you thanks, offering you praise in song, but most of all, receiving what you have for me, the receiving of the world, of the word." For here we don't receive the world. We know what the world can give, and it is not much good. But instead we receive here the word, the Word made flesh, Jesus himself, the one who sat in the temple 12 years old. And in the presence of this young Messiah, what happens is precisely what Paul said. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds, discerning the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. This is what happens to us in this place of worship. We are transformed. For we are like our Savior. We were once 12 years old, all of us. And we are man. So is our Savior, of two natures, God and man. How wonderful it is to see the very God, the one who knows all things, who is all things, loves all things, cherishes all things, to be a man, a boy. A boy with human nature, who grew in wisdom and stature and favor with his own father and with his fellow people. That's really what happens here. We are transformed by our Savior to be like him, to grow in stature and in wisdom and in favor with our Father in heaven and with man. Our worship here in this holy place then is a preparation for what is to come in heaven, where we will stand before the throne, our Savior himself sitting upon that throne, his train filling the temple. Indeed, what we receive here this evening is the beginning of that worship in heaven. We receive the same gifts. We praise him with the same songs. We receive the same lamb that is sacrificed from the foundation of the world. We worship in the presence of our only Savior. We sing songs of praise. We sing the holy liturgy, the same liturgy of heaven. Indeed, what we have here is the same temple that our Lord sat in, the same tabernacle that traveled the wilderness. Indeed, the same smoke and fire that led those people. We have the same Jesus, the Savior of the world, the guiding star, the light of the world. And so we sing and praise him and speak songs of thanksgiving with the same kind of worship. Indeed, the purpose and the goals of what we hear from our Lord there in the temple, answering their questions, indeed asking them questions, teaching them, but listening to them, those same things are happening now. Your Savior knows your needs, and he well provides for them. He gives you forgiveness from your sins, which gives you great joy. He tells you how he has come to deliver you, a 12-year-old boy in the temple who will be the sacrifice, the temple in his own flesh, which we will hear of and rejoice in on Easter morn. And for all these things, it is our duty to thank and to praise, to serve and obey our God and Father. Dutifully to be like that little Jesus boy, 12 years old, who submits to his parents, follows them home, for he knows that his time has not yet come, but it will come some 30 years or so later. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.